Be'ezer Hashem will begin the second parak of Masechet Pesachim, parak called Shah. And in this parak, we'll see a lot about chametz and matzah and the various isurim. So let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Shah Shemuto Lechol Machil. And then the Mishnah specifies all three categories, Lebehem Lechai Laof. So whenever you're allowed to eat chametz, then you're allowed to benefit from the chametz and feed various kinds of animals. The Gemara is going to analyze this part of the Mishnah very carefully. Furthermore, since chametz is mutar b'ano at this point, mutar lemochro lenochri, you're allowed to sell it to a guy, mutar b'ano also, and a general rule that you're allowed to have a benefit from it. Once again, the Gemara is going to ask, why was it necessary to add those words, mutar b'ano? Now the Mishnah says, over asmano, now the time of heter achilas chametz is passed. You can no longer eat chametz. Now we start with the zmana iser. Aser bana aso. You're not allowed to have any benefit from the chametz. You can't sell it. You can't feed it to your dog. And even lo yasik bo tanur v'kirayim. You can't even use it as fuel to keep your oven going hot. And the Gemara is going to ask, why do we need that chiddush? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. This last part of the Mishnah addresses the mitzvah of Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbisu and records Machlokes Shin Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the only way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisu is by burning the Chametz. Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. Chachamim Omerim, however, according to the Rabbanan, Af Mefarer V'zora L'ruach O Matil Yam. Any method of destruction of the chametz is acceptable. Even if you turn the chametz into crumbs and you let the wind carry the crumbs away, or you throw the chametz into the water. The Gemara now begins to analyze the beginning of the Mishnah called Shosh Muta Lechol Machil Behem Lechai Liofos. So the Gemara now is medayik from the lashon of the Mishnah. It says, "Ha kol shah she'eno mutar lechol, eino machil." Whenever you're enjoined from eating the chametz, you cannot feed it to your dog. The Gemara says, "Lema masnisin de lo Rabbi Yehuda." The Mishnah therefore is against the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda was recorded back in the first parak on Daf Yud Aleph. The e Rabbi Yehuda, if this Mishnah were in line with the Shita of Yehuda, then Ha'ika Chamesh, what about the fifth hour? The fifth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's call it 11 a.m. on a perfect clock, would be the sixth hour. Then far and 1 hour early would be the fifth hour. That would be 10 o'clock in the morning, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That hour, we are enjoined from eating chametz, but we're allowed to have hanah from chametz. Tieno ochel, during the fifth hour, we don't eat it. But yet, we're allowed to have hanah. We can give the chametz over to our dog and have him eat it. Disnan. The Mishnah, back in the first parak, records machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see soon that there's a third tana, Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin kol arba, we're allowed to eat during the fourth hour. We'll call it 9 to 10 a.m. And then, when we get to the fifth hour, Rabbi Meir says, Ochlin kol chomesh. Even during the fifth hour, we're allowed to eat the chomets. And that would mean from 10 to 11. V'sarfim b'tchila shesh. When we get to 11 a.m., the sixth hour, the beginning of the sixth hour, that's when we have to burn the chomets. The implication is that according to Rabbi Meir, there's no isur whatsoever during the fifth hour, neither for hanah, to benefit, feed it to your dog, sell it to a guy, or for achil, your own personal consumption. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ochlin kol arba, you're allowed to eat the chametz during that fourth hour from 9 to 10. Then you get to the hour of the fifth, and that's 10 o'clock in the morning. Is then, the halacha is tolin kol chametz. Tolin is a word that means that you don't destroy the chametz, you're not allowed to eat the chametz, you're allowed to benefit from the chametz during the fifth hour. And then, sorfim b'tchila shesh, comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no such thing as an all or nothing proposition. Our Mishnah says, Kol Shosha Ochel Machil, and we don't split between the Isra Achil and Isra Ano. It's a package deal. Rabbi Yehuda has a split because during the fifth hour, he allows you to benefit from the chametz, even though you're enjoined from eating the chametz. Our Mishnah undermines the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ve'el Amai Rabbi Meir, then by process of elimination, are you assuming that the authorship of the Mishnah should be attributed to Rabbi Meir? And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, in the fourth hour, and even in the fifth hour, you're allowed to both eat and, of course, have hanah for the chametz. In the sixth hour, you're enjoined from both eating and having hanah. So that all or nothing proposition in which achil and hanah go together as a package deal would certainly seem to reflect the shita of Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara says no. A careful, meticulous reading of the Mishnah will leave us shy of being satisfied with attributing the Mishnah to Rabbi Meir. And why is that? Hi, the language of the Mishnah quote, Kol Shoshem Muta Lechol Machil. It shouldn't have said that. It should have said Kol Shosha Ochel Machil Mi Boile. Whenever you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to feed it to your dog. The implication of Kol Shosha Muta Lechol Machil is that we're splitting between two people. We have a shah that, let's say, Reuven is allowed to eat it, and Shimon is allowed to feed it. He's allowed to have hanor from it. How do we understand that? Omer Rabba Bar Ula Masnisin Rabbi Ram Gamlili. In other words, there's a third sheet in Tanoim. Our Mishnah does not necessarily reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, but on the contrary, from a careful diuk in the Lashon Mishnah, it would seem to reflect the Shita of Ram Gamliel, a third Shita in Tanoim. And the Shita of Ram Gamliel addresses really, in a sense, the Kohanim, because we're talking about Trumas Chametz. And although Chametz becomes Asur to a non-Kohen, in the case of Chulin, and that Isur will encompass both Achila and Hanah, so for example, the fifth hour, according to Ram Gamliel, like Rabbi Yehuda, we are enjoined from eating and we're enjoined from benefiting from the chametz. But during that fifth hour, it becomes mutar l'kohanim if it's truma. And that's the language of Rav Gamliel here. Chulin echon kol arba. At the end of the fourth hour, beginning of the fifth hour, chametz, if it's chulin, becomes prohibited. Straight across the line, both for achil and for hanah. But truma, if the chametz is truma, then it can be eaten called chamesh, v'sarfin b'tchilas sheish. So during the sixth hour, we burn everything. When we get to the sixth hour, there's no difference between truma and other chamesh, chulin. But during the fifth hour, we have a major difference between chulin on the one hand and truma on the other hand. In the case of truma, we're going to allow the kohen and encourage him even to eat up his chamesh during that fifth hour. We don't want to encourage the destruction of the chametz. So even though, had the chametz been chulin, we would be enjoined from eating it. But in the case of truma, give him the extra hour of achila. And hachikamer, now we begin to understand how to read the Mishnah. And the Mishnah reads as follows, Kol shoshem muta lechol kohen b'truma, which means that a kohen is allowed to eat truma during the fifth hour, then Yisrael machil chulin lebehema lechai lofos. When we get to the fifth hour, here's where, if you recall, Rabbi Yehuda had made a distinction between the Isra Achila and the Isra Hanah. In fact, the reason why we rejected attributing the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Yehuda has a split during the fifth hour, in this case, between achil and hanah, whereas achila is prohibited, but hanah is permissible. And that hour, which is an hour in which we are asur to eat chulin, truma of chametz of chulin, at that hour, the fifth hour, then we're allowed to eat truma, meaning a kohen is allowed to eat truma. And therefore, Hachi Kamer, let's read it again, Kol Shoshem Muta Lechol Kohen B'Truma, during that fifth hour, when we're going to permit the Kohen to eat the Chametz, that's Truma. Yisrael machil chulin lebeim alechai lofos. And that means that there's no Iser Hana during that fifth hour. We talk about chulin. But there's an Iser Achila. So that's where the Shita, the approach of Rabbi Yehuda comes in, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, during the fifth hour, as far as Chulin is concerned. And we're going to split between Achila, which is us in the fifth hour, and Hanah, to feed it to your animals, is Mutter. The Gemara now goes on to say, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add both Behema and Chaya? It would seem that that's an extra Arichus. The Gemara could have just said Behema, we would have understood Chaya. And the Gemara answers, Val Tzricha. The E, Tana Behema, if we only had Behema in our Mishnah, we would say the following, that when you are feeding your animal in the fifth hour, and it's a Behema, Imeshaira Chazile. Now, while it's true that the Behema might not finish all the chametz that you feed it, there's some leftover chametz, but we would think that you would anticipate that the Behema would leave over chametz. So you're feeding the Behema right here in this area, in this demarcated location. As soon as the Behema finishes and leaves any other extra chametz, the leftover chametz will be cleared away. Avol chai, but I might think that if you have a chai like a chulda, for example, that we discussed, a weasel, or you might talk about cats, and larger cats and so forth, weasels, different kinds of coyotes, whatever it might be. So in the case of a chaya, there's a principle called darkon latznia macholam. They actually take the leftovers and they hide it away for a rainy day. And therefore, the imashayrika matznia le, aim low, we're not going to allow you to feed a chaya, because if you do so, the animal, in this case, the chaya, the weasel, will take the leftover chametz and hide it. You won't be able to find it. And if you won't be able to find it, and it's in your rishus, you will violate bayirah bayimotzeh. So if not for the fact that Mishnah spelled out chaya, we would have thought that it's okay to feed the behema, and after the behema finishes and leaves over chametz, you'll come in and clear it out, because lo mitznei. But in the case of chaya of mitznah, here we have to be very careful. Maybe we shouldn't allow you to feed the chaya right there before Pesach, because any leftovers she's going to bring into her little hideout. And then it goes the other way around. The itana chaya, had the Mishnah only said chaya, mishum di mishaira mia mitzna. In the case of a chaya, if you can't find the chametz that she hides, as we said before, whatever she leaves over she hides, then you don't necessarily violate by your obey matzeh. And the reason for that is because if the chametz is hidden away in such a way that the bialim can't possibly see it, they have no clue where it is, that doesn't lend itself to bal yirah bayimotzeh. Now, we have to stop for a moment and think about this, because we had already earlier in the first parak that bal yimotzeh, as opposed to bal yirah, teaches us to expand the scope of this iser to even include a case where, although you're not seeing the chametz, but it is in your rishus, and that includes bal yatmin, which means you're not allowed to just hide chametz away. And apparently, the iser bal yatmin doesn't apply in the case of a chaya hamatznias chametz. And the reason for that is, I'll just read to you the language here. He says, the afalpi sheshonsakan Stam Mishnah Kirab Gamliel. Okay, we now have a Mishnah that reflects the Shita from Gamliel, as we mentioned earlier. And in the case of a Chaya, we're going to say the following, that La Halacha, that's on the side, we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, who says explicitly that although when you have machlok sefer kestam, and you have a stam mishnah, which is after machlok, so we usually paskin like the stam mishnah. Okay, fine. That's an issue that we have to address in a separate thing, whether or not we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. However, with regard to the iser of bal yirah bayimotzeh, So this is not a violation because it's not chametz that's matzui, meaning even though bal yematzei includes bal yatmin, hidden chametz, it's concealed from the eye, but nevertheless it's matzui, it's accessible, meaning you know where it's hidden. But in the case of a chaya, where you don't know where she's matzniya it, that could possibly, again, this is machlok rishonim, but it might alleviate you of the violation of bal yira bal yematzei. Aval behema. Why would we think that we should be more machmir behema dezimnin de mishaira? Sometimes the behema will leave it out after she has leftovers and she doesn't hide the leftovers. And now we're worried, lo masik adaita, he's got chametz, it's actually matzui, but he didn't stand there watching over, you know, overseeing and supervising the behema to make sure that any leftovers he would clear away. So he might just leave over some chametz. And Rashi has another element to the equation here. He might not even make bittul on this chametz, even though the Gemara has established in the first parak that abodek tzor shiyavatel, but nevertheless he was mevatel the chametz yesterday, and today he's feeding the chametz in the fifth hour in the morning on Yudalid, then that chametz that he put away to feed his animals not included in the bittul of last night, and he left it out in order to feed his animal, and therefore he omitted it from his bittul. Now he doesn't pay attention to the fact that the animal has left this in a corner where you fed her, or somewhere in your vicinity, your premises, you left it in such a way that she would have vestiges, or shall we say, leftover chametz, and you didn't pay any attention to it, you won't even be mevatel, it's lava daite. And therefore, tzricha, we need both of them. The koyale, in a case where you didn't make bittul, and you have no reason to make bittul, because you're not paying attention to the fact that the animal leftover chametz, in the case of behema, you will violate these two isurim as lo. Maybe the Mishnah would not allow, the Chacham would not be mata you to feed a behema right before the Shas Isur Chametz. Therefore, we need the Mishnah to teach me both Chaya and behema. Now the Gemara goes on to the third category. Ophos lomali. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add ophos? It would seem that in the case of birds, you know, there's no havamina to say that the bird is going to hide away some chametz in your rishus, pull it into a little hole over there like a weasel would. And on the other hand, if the bird has any leftovers, it's very hard to believe that she would leave it there in your house. So the Gemara says, Aidi, the tana behema v'chaya tani nami ofos. There's a general rule throughout Mishnayos that the style of Rabbi Yudah Nasi is that whenever he mentions chaya v'behema, he also adds ophos. But in a chinami, we would have derived a heter of feeding your ophos from chaya ubehema, even if the Mishnah had omitted it. And now we're up to the part of the Mishnah which is called umochro le nochri. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to sell your chametz before Shas Isuro to a guy. So the Gemara answers Peshitta. We've already established that this is a sha'a of heter hanah. And if I'm allowed to have hanah, I was able to feed my dog, etc., I can also sell it to a guy. And the Gemara answers, lafuki me'aitana. The Mishnah wants to be mechadish achidish against Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai omrim lo yimchar adam chametzo lenachri. You should not sell your chametz to a guy before Pesach. Unless you sell it to him, and its chametz will get spoiled after a while, but you sell it to him early enough, before Pesach, that you can be guaranteed, you can be sure, that he will destroy the chametz. He will consume the chametz. So the chametz will not be there in existence at all at the time of Pesach. And it would seem that according to Beit Shammai, we don't want you to have any connection with your chametz, your former chametz, that you've already sold to a guy during Pesach. And Rashi indicates that since it's a mitzvah of hashbosas chametz, shelo yeh kayom b'shasa iser, that the Torah wants to guarantee that when the shasa iser chametz
emerges, you will have no chametz in your possession. And later on, we're going to see that Rashi repeats himself in this vein. However, there is a Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz who says, I don't understand Rashi. Once he sells the chametz to a nochri, he will not violate Bal Yerov HaYimotze. So why would Beit Shammai require that lo yeh kayim ba'olam, that the chametz is completely consumed from the world before Pesach, before the Shas Isuro? And therefore, according to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, Beit Shammai lo darshu drasha zu v'savru sha'ovrim al chemtzo gam k'shu b'rshus ha'goy, that although we derive back in the first parak from the word lecha to exclude shalacherim if it belongs to a guy, Beit Shammai didn't have that drush. Perhaps he used the word lo to exclude chametz shel hegdesh, but not to exclude chametz shel nochri that was yours and you sold it to a nochri. Now other Rishonim say that Beit Shammai is really only a drabbanan halacha, and that is that we're afraid that maybe since this chametz belonged to Yisrael, it might be nikar, it might be public knowledge that this chametz once belonged to a Yisrael. And if the guy has not yet consumed that chametz, then there's a chash that people will accuse the Jew of being mafkid his chametz in the rishus of a guy. But really, the Jew still retains ownership over the chametz. In any event, our Mishnah is coming lafuke Beit Shammai, and therefore reflecting the Shita Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel Omrim, Kol Shosha Mutar Lechol, Mutar Limkar. If you're allowed to eat the chametz, you're allowed to sell the chametz, and that's enough. It's no longer your Rishus, you don't possess it, and you don't have to worry at all about Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotze. That's what we have here in the Shita of Beis Hillel. However, if you turn now to Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, you'll see a third sheet. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, he's very much along the line of Beit Shammai. He says, Kutach. Kutach is a kind of a dip that was made, if you recall, of pirurei lechem, small pieces of leftover bread together with yogurt or cheese. And since there are pirurei lechem in it, it's also mishum chametz. V'chol minei kutach, osu limko shloshim yom kodeh l'pesach. Make sure that you don't sell it to a guy within 30 days. Why? Because kutach is something that's eaten as a dip very slowly, very gradually. There's no way you can guarantee that if you sell it to him 29 days before Pesach, by Pesach he has completely consumed all the kutach. And from that perspective, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira agrees with the shita of Beit Shammai that your chametz has to get, it has to be consumed, it has to be out of this universe, out of this world, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of bir chametz, or in order to make sure that no one suspects you of maintaining ownership over the chametz. And in the case of kutach habavli, for one, Rabbi Yehuda says, make sure to sell it as much as 30 days before the chag, till the guy gets a chance to completely consume, because in the case of kutach, it's going to take a while, a full month, until he consumes the kutach haba. We'll continue now on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, the third line, Umutar Bahano. The Mishnah tells us that as long as you're allowed to feed the chametz to your dog, you're allowed to sell it to a goy. And then the Mishnah gives us a general statement of Mutar Bahano. Pshita. The Gemara doesn't understand, how would you justify the addition and a chiddush, so to speak, of what would seem at surface level to be absolutely redundant, that it's mutar b'ano? You've already told me I'm allowed to feed it to my dog, I'm allowed to sell it to a nochri. What additional chiddush, lasuye mai, are you including under mutar b'ano? Lo tzricha, here's a gevaldige chiddush. Shecharocho kodim zmano. He's going to burn his chametz, but not exactly burn his chametz. He's going to scorch his chametz before the Shas Isur. I mean, after the Shas Isur, he has a mitzvah beer. He has to get it totally out of this world. He has to destroy it. But before Shas Isur, he may be able to do something to the chametz, and that's where the Mishnah is coming to Mechadesh, that would allow him to benefit from this chametz. He's going to scorch it, and it's no longer edible, normally. And a person would not eat chametz that's already partially burnt. Kamash malon, and the Mishnah is telling us the chiddush of Rav, who formulated this rule. And Rav said, mutar charcho konim zmano, mutar bahano. You're allowed to benefit from chametz if before the zman isur you burnt it in such a way that it's no longer edible in the normal sense. Again, you might want to eat it, but no one else would want to eat it. And the Rishonim here are debating this whole question. Would he be allowed to eat it according to Rava in the case of Charcho Konim Zman Isuro? According to most Rishonim, we'll see the Rush is the exception, when it says that Charcho Konim Zmano Mutter Behano, Mutter Behano means you're allowed to benefit from it anyway, including by eating it yourself, and it has the status of Afra Bialma. It's almost like the dust of the earth that lost its shame chametz, and the reason for that is because of Charcho. And the Rishonim say that the word Hana means that it's not Roy Lachila. And even if he would go ahead and decide to eat it, we would say, butler daito, it's a kol adam. I mean, that's not an achila the way the Torah recognizes and validates achila. Therefore, he would not violate any sort of isur by eating it. And as we said before, when Rava says mutar behana, he really means lav dafka hana, he means even achila. That's one school of thought in the Rishonim. And the Rush disagrees. The Rush is of the opinion that it's asur b'achila. Even after Charcho, it's asur b'achila. Why? Because once he eats it, says the Rush, he's achshava. He made it into a chashav achila, and he's revealed his interest in eating it, and therefore there's an isur to eat it. Now here, the commentaries on the Rush claim that the Rush only means it as an isur derabanan. But at least we understand very well, according to the Rush, why Rava uses the language Charcho Kodem Zmano Mutar Bahana. They never prohibited Hana. Let's assume the Rush is an Issa Drabanan. And there's no Achshave in the case of Hana. But as far as Achil is concerned, Rava didn't say it was Mutar. On the contrary, he was implying that it's us. Now, all the Rishonim would say that the word Hana in this context, Mutar Bahana, that phrase according to Rava means even Achil is included in Hana. Now, let's say it was already the Shas Isur. And what would be at the Shas Isur? After all, if we're saying that Charcho means that he has completely reduced this chametz to afar, then if Lu Yitzur, he would have done that after Shas Isur, that would have the same accomplishment. The only problem is that by holding on to the chametz after the Shas Isur, entering into that time zone, he has violated the Isur of Bayura Bayimotze. Now, the Rishonim use a phrase here to explain Rava why in a normal case where he was Charcho Kodem Zvan Isur, it's Mutar. And they write, Batal Min HaChometz Tamo Umar Ehu. Which means that not only is the Tam of the Chometz Batal, but even the Mare, it doesn't even look like Chometz. Now, the question we want to raise here is, would a dog eat this Chometz that was scorched by the fire? And it says in the Magid Mishnah, in the third parak of Chametz Matzah, that, just see if I can get the language here, that Chametz shenifsal me'achilas kelev ein bo iser klal v'hu ki ofer bi'alma, if he burns it to the extent in which it's like an eitz, it's like a piece of a bark of a tree, even an animal like a dog would not eat it, then it's completely ke'ofer the Alma. But Chametz Shecharcho Korin Zman Isuro, if you want to tell me that it's completely Mutar Mana, then Tosfos points out you're going to have to say that it's Einu Roy L'Achilas Kelev. So we have, in a sense, both the Shitas HaTosfos and the Magen Mishnah, that if Rava is assuming that it's Ki'afra B'Alma, and that means that there's no Isra at all, it has to be Nifsal, even Me'achilas Kelev. Aval, Im Nifsal Rak Me'achilas Adam, it would not be enough that it's no longer humanly edible. It's got to be excluded even from a dog. If it was humanly excluded and inedible, but it could be eaten by a dog, it's low nifsal mechilas kelev. There the Gemara says, back on daf tezayin, tezvav, in the case of pasha ipsa, if it's adayin roi lachilas kelev, you can still eat it, then you have to get rid of it. You're not allowed to have hanah. This language of Rashi, of Botel Taimo Mar Iso, seems like it's not against Tosfos. All you need is to be Mevatel, the Maris HaLechem. It doesn't look like a piece of bread, and certainly doesn't taste like one as far as human consumption is concerned. And therefore, the Iso is completely gone, Rashi says, because Botel Taimo Mar Iso, even if it's Royal Achilles Kelly. Let's go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ovar Zmano Asur Behana Aso Pshita. We certainly know that after the 6th hour there's an Isur Hana. And in fact, we derived from the Pasuk Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbisu, there were other alternative Yalfusas, but certainly we know that Chometz after Zmani Suro, after the 6th hour is Asur Behana. And again, the ratio of the Mishnah seems to indicate that. The Mishnah said already, Kol Shosha Mutal Lechol Mutal Lehenos Imenu Mashma, that if it's already after Shasi Surah, it's Asur Behano. So why did the Mishnah have to spell out Asur Behano? And the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha L'Shos D'Rabbanan. We're talking now about the 6th hour on Erev Pesach. And you and I might have said, well, maybe the Rabbanan only went as far as to say this Asur Be'achila, but they didn't superimpose a full-fledged Shem Chametz, which would generate an Isur Hanah. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to tell me that is an Isur Hanah. Now that Isur Hanah in the 6th hour is a Rabbanan that is generated by the creation of a Shem Chametz. That's what the Rabbanan did. They already established a Shem Chametz in the 6th hour. And that's what the Gemara is going to try to illustrate, that although the Isur Chametz in the 6th hour is the Rabbanon, and you can't benefit from it, Mirabbanon, nevertheless it has the same status as Chametz Doraisa, which is also Banon. The Omer Av Gidol, Omer Av Chiyo Bar Yosef, Omer Av Yochanan, Mekadesh Isha, Bechametz. This is on Erev Pesach, Mishay Shal Sulamala, from the beginning of the 6th hour, Chametz is only also Mirabbanon. Is afilu bechitik or denaisa? We'll come back to that in just a second. Ein choshishin lekedushin. It's not even a suffic kedushin. The kedushin is completely null and void because the Torah requires in kedushin ki ikach ish isha. He's got to have a nesina. He's got to give us something of value. Something that's osur b'hanah has no value. It's completely valueless. He hasn't given anything to her of value, and therefore the kedushin is totally ineffective. And now the Mishnah is telling us that Chametz B'Sholos D'Rabbanan, which is only D'Rabbanan, and therefore on a Torah level you're allowed to have Hanor from it. It's the 6th hour. And now I gave her for Kedushin something that she could benefit from on a D'Oraisa level name. I'm giving her something that's valueless. Why? Because once D'Rabbanan imposed an Isur Hanor in the 6th hour, that Chametz has a full-fledged Shem Chametz, like Chametz D'Oraisa, it's also Hanor. You are giving her something that is valueless. Now, we skipped 3 words over here. It says, afilu b'chite kurdenaisa. Rashi explains that chite kurdenaisa, chitin kashos, they're very tough, very hard. And somchos bahare arat, he tells you where you can find them in the hare arat, that's where they grow. And Mayim now came upon these chite kurdenaisa. And therefore, the question is, did these chite kurdenaisa become Chametz or not? Now, you and I would have said that maybe it's a suffix whether it became chametz, but maybe it's not chametz. And now the question is, have you given her for kedushin anything of value? So let's just mention over here that it's considered chametz ha'osur min haTorah, and that's clear from Rashi. Why? Because we have a rule of sfeika d'oraisa l'chumra. This is the Pnei Yoshua's take on Rashi, that since we're not 100% sure one way or the other whether it became chametz in the case of chiti kuzeraisa, the Torah says in a sofek, you have to consider it as if it's chametz. Therefore, she cannot benefit from it in any way. We consider it like chametz because of the principle of sfeika d'oraisa l'chumra. However, there is an interpretation of the Netzivmi Valojin of Rashi, and he writes that these chitin are not chametz min haTorah, they're only chametz d'rabbanan. And that means that in certain cases, the Rabbanan said that that which is inedible, it's very tough, like these chitin kurdenaisa, you'd hardly want to eat them, and the Rabbanan said that they are considered chametz. So we have now, in a sense, an overlap of two elements, two dimensions of the sugya here of Rav Gidol Amarav. On the one hand, we have the dimension of Shaul's Rabbanan, and the Chiddush is that the Rabbanan already in the sixth hour imposed an Isra Hanoah, and therefore Shem Chametz, the Kiddushin is valueless. And now we have another variable in the equation, and that is Chiti Kurdenaisa, which again, according to Pnei Yeshua, means Sufik Deraisa Lechumra. We don't know if it became Chametz, but if we go with the Netziv, then we're talking about a whole different story over here. We're talking about Chiti Kudanaisa as Chametz Derabanan. And the very Shem Chametz, the essence of this Chiti Kudanaisa as Chametz, is all Midarabanan. Now, what happens in an overlap situation if you had both Shaul's Derabanan and Chametz Derabanan? So this is going to be a major machlokus rishonim. Rashi here seems to assume that we're talking about in Rav Gidol chametz that's also min haTorah. And even though the chametz per se is also min haTorah, but nevertheless the shah is only derabbanan. That's the chiddush of Rav Gidol Amarav. However, Rabbeinu Tam has problems with this Rashi because the Gemara back on Daf Dalet Amud Beis says chametz mishei shel selamala asur, and there the Gemara is talking about the end of the sixth hour, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam assumes that here too, when the Gemara Rav Gidol Amarav uses the language of mishei shel selamala, it means the end of the sixth hour. So therefore we're talking about Shaul's da'oraisa. The Chiddush therefore says Rabbeinu Tam of Rav Gidol Amarav is the chiti kurtenaisa, which are very tough, as we said, and they are considered chametz nuksha, and it's not chametz gomur, it's only chametz derabbanan. So again, Rashi is learning that the shah is derabbanan, the chametz is doraisa. Rabbeinu Tam is learning that the shah is doraisa, but the chametz is derabbanan. And once again, we're going to have a major issue here in the Rishonim. What happens if it's both an overlap of chametz derabbanan, chiti kudraisa, going to Rabbeinu Tam, and shah is derabbanan, the sixth hour, the way Rashi is learning this sugya? The Mishnah goes on and tells me, Lo Yasik Bo Tanur Vikirayim. We are not permitted, once the Shasisur comes, to take this chametz and burn it, using it as fuel to heat up our ovens. The Gemara says, Pshita, why would I think otherwise? In other words, we already learned in the Mishnah that chametz is also by Noah. And if he uses the chametz as fuel, he's certainly benefiting from the chametz. Lo Tzricha, the Gemara answers, the Chiddush is Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar, Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. That the only way you can destroy chametz is by burning the chametz. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns tashbisu. And if that be the case, then salka daitcha mina hol v'yom Rabbi Yehuda. She mitzvosu b'sreifa is b'hadi d'kosar fleid l'tzhani minei. I would have thought that since the kiyum mitzvah in this chametz is sreifa, then any benefit you get from the mitzvah itself, meaning from the sreifa, if you use it as fuel to heat up your oven, that should be mutter. Kamash malon, and the Mishnah is telling me not like that. Now, many of the Rishonim, the Achronim, have a little bit of a problem over here, because the Gemara introduces Rabbi Yehuda as if to say that only if I hold Ein B'Chametz Sreifa, then I have a Hava, meaning that I can be Nene from the Chametz Tokhidei Sreifa and use the fire and the heat coming from the fire as fuel to heat up my oven. Why do you have to introduce Rabbi Yehuda? The same Hava could apply according to the Chachamim, even though they hold Hashbasas B'chol Dover, but certainly if you burn the Chametz, that is a Kiyuma Mitzvah. The Rabbanan never excluded Sreifas Chametz as an option. So they explain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mitzvah Bir Chametz is Dafka B'Sreifa, we have Halacha, this is based on a Mishnah, Tmura on Daf Lamedalim, and in Tmura it tells us that Yisuri HaNoshim Mitzvasim B'Sreifa, Mishosh and Nisrafu, once you burn them, then the Afer, the ashes that come out of the fire are Mutta. And that's because Niskaimi Mitzvasa of Sreifa. According to the Rabbanon, there's no Miskaimi Mitzvasa Sreifa in the Cheft itself. I mean, the Gavra has to be without Chometz, Chometz free. And this is what Rav Chaim clarifies over here. You have, he gives an example here in the note that I have here of Kodshim, Liachash Anasis Mitzvason, there's no longer Me'ilah. And a similar concept applies according to Tmura in a case of Isuri Hana, that once you fulfill the mitzvah, then you're mafkir the shame Isur, and therefore there's no Isur afterwards. So Yehimutu Lehenos Miachomis Bishosh and Israf, Vinasa Efer. And the Chachom on the other hand, who hold, as we said before, there's no mitzvah in the Heftz of burning it, therefore the Efer is not going to be permissible. It comes under what we call Nikbarim. And in the case of Nikbarim, you're not allowed to benefit from the Efer. Many Achronim are of the opinion that even according to Chachomim, Chometz, after it's burnt, the Efer is Mutter. And it's not similar to other Isuri Hano, which are called Nikbarim, because in the case of Nikbarim, there's no real mitzvah to destroy them. In the case of Chometz, the Torah commanded us explicitly to destroy them. In other Isuri Hanoah, for example, the Torah didn't say you have to destroy it. You have to bury them in order to avoid the possibility that somebody might inadvertently enjoy the benefits of these Isuri Hanoah. But in Chometz, there's a specific mitzvah of Tashbisu, and therefore we should have said that even according to the Chachamim, even though Ashbasos B'chol Dover, but nevertheless he's Mekayim the mitzvah through Sreifa, and the Efer of Chometz HaNisraf should be Mutter. And this is all discussed in Reb Kibegin, as I mentioned before, in Reb Chaim. Let's now continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Chizkiah. We're about to begin a sugya that's going to occupy our minds for the next probably 4 or 5 blot. Minayin l'chametz pesach shu osur bano. What's the source in the Torah from which we derive the conclusion that chametz is osur behanot? The Torah only says lo ye ochel, you're not allowed to eat it. Says Chizkiah. Excuse me for just a minute, sorry. My recorder fell on the floor, and it's a miracle that it didn't break. In any event, Chizkiah says the following. Shenemar, it says in the Torah in Parshas Bo, it says, Lo ye'ochel chametz. Lo ye'ochel chametz is not just lo yochel chametz, don't eat the chametz, but shouldn't be eaten. And that's implying, Shelo ye'bo heter achila. In other words, when we talk about hanoah from chametz, any hanah could really bring you to achila. From a certain perspective, achila is paradigmic of hanah. It's the greatest hanah you can get from an option. But what it means is that the Torah is telling you lo ye'ochel in any shape or form, coming to include even selling it to a guy or feeding it to your animal. All that is included in the Isur. The Gemara now is medayik from Chizkiah. Taima. The reason we establish, and how do we know that chametz is osmano mishum derachmano omar? The Torah says, lo ye ochel chametz, holokosav lo ye ochel. If it just would have said lo sochal, but not lo ye ochel, as havamida, we would have come to the conclusion that Yisrael achilu mashma, Yisrael no lo mashma. According to Chizkiah, when the Torah prohibits achila, if it doesn't say lo ye achel, that's the exception case, then it's only also achila, not bano, who pliga the Rabbi Avo. And that's against the sheet of Rabbi Avo. Chizkiah is against Rabbi Avo. Tiyomer Rabbi Avo. Kol mokom shenemar lo ye achel, lo socha, lo sochlu. Any various language or formulation of achila, v'nisar achila in the Torah, where it says lo ye achel, lo socha, lo sochlu, echad isar achila, v'echad isar ano b'mashma. We assume, until we know otherwise, says Rabbi Avo, that the Isra Achil includes an Isra Ano as well. Meaning that the Isra Achil is just a prime or profound example of Ano, but the Torah really means to convey to us that there's an Isra Ano included, and that's the expanded Isra. Ad Shiyafar Chal Kosuv, we call it guilty until proven innocent. Guilty meaning to include not only achila but also ano, unless the Torah is mefaret, unless the Torah went out of its way to tell you that it's mutav ano. Where do we find such a case? Kederech sheperat lecha b'nevela. In the parasha nevela, it says lo sochlu kol nevela, but then it says lager asher b'shechta tenen v'yochla o machar lenachri. The Torah goes out of its way saying that you're allowed to give it as a gift to a ger, meaning a ger tzedek. You're allowed to sell it to a guy. And the veil is mutav anah. But it's mutav anah because the Torah spelled out the heter anah. Had the Torah not spelled out the heter anah, we would have assumed that it's osav anah because it says kol nevela lo socha. And now the Gemara quotes a brisa that will touch on this whole issue about Rabbi Avo and Chizkiah. The Sani, we learned in the Braisa, the Torah says in the Torah, Perek Yudal, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela Ger Asher B'Shechet Tutana V'Achala O Machar L'Nachri. Now notice, we put a comma after the word V'Achala. Is Ainli Ela L'Ger B'Nesina L'Nachri B'Mechira. If you put a comma between V'Achala, which goes back on Lager Asher B'Shechet Tutana, and Machar L'Nachri is on the other side of the comma, then there are two Heterim. The Torah is allowing you to give a gift to a ger. Again, we're talking about a ger tzedek. A ger toshav. Or to sell it to a god. However, at this particular point, leger v'mechira minayin, how would you know that you're allowed to sell it to a ger? And for that matter, as we'll soon see, we could ask, how do you know you'd be allowed to give it as a gift to a god? Talmud Lomar, Lager Shem Shech Tetena O Machar. Don't read it with a comma. Read it as one flow. And the O Machar, which means or sell it, is a heter with regard to a ger. So you have two options with regard to a ger in the Vela. You could give it to him gratis, or you could sell it to him. And then we could ask the same question about Nachri b'nesina. How do we know that you'd be allowed to give a gift to the Nachri when it says, O Machar Simkarenu, O Machar l'Nachri? So once again, we're going to rearrange, so to speak, the flow of the pasuk. Talmud Lomar, we're going to read it this way. Titnena, which if you read it straight from the beginning, sounds like it's referring exclusively to the ger, but now we're going to take it as a separate paragraph, so to speak, a separate part or segment of the pasuk, to the tnenu viachola o machar l'nachri. With regard to nachri, we're giving you two options: either sell it to him or give it to him gratis, and both are mutter. Nimtzeis omer. So, as a final conclusion, we can summarize: echad ger viachad nachri ben mechir ben nesina. All this is divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir seems to be oblivious to the simple way that you read the pasuk, in which the Torah says tithnena with regard to a ger and lemachra with regard to a goy. Forget about all that. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Dvarim kiksavim. Let's read the pasuk kipshuto in the simple way, straightforward. La ger benesina, because the Torah says lo socha kol nevela la ger asher b'tushrena tithnena. And legoy b'mechira, as it says, o, and the word o separates this, machar l'nachri. So therefore, you would not be allowed to sell it to a goy, to sell to ger, and you would not be allowed to give it as a gift to a nachri. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda's gripe, so to speak, his objection against Rabbi Meir in terms of how to read the pasuk? Isal kidaita kida omra Meir, for Meir is right that o machar means that you have another option vis-a-vis the ger of mechira. And then titneno v'yachla means that with regard to a goy, you have two options, either sell it or give it to the goy as a gift. Then lifto rachmona, why did the Torah combine everything together and say, like, ger shev shrech titneno v'yachla u'machar l'nachri? In other words, the O would seem to separate the Resha that refers to the Ger from the Sefer that refers to the Nachri. Shmamino, Dvarm Kiksoma. We should read the O as an O Machalik that separates clearly between the Ger that has only one option of Nesina and the Goy that has only one option of Mechira. For Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir do with the extra word O that seems to separate as the Svar of Rabbi Yehuda? If you have two options, you could either give it as a gift to a ger, or you can sell it, I'm talking about a nevela, right, to a goy, then even though it seems more profitable and certainly more attractive to sell to a goy, the Torah is saying no. First, if all things are equal, you're not going to go bust from it, give it as a gift to the ger. The ger is a ger, toshav. And we have a mitzvah to support the gerim. The Gemara asks Rabbi Yehuda, what about Rabbi Yehuda? What response could he give to the argument of Rabbi Meir? And it would really seem that we need the O to set up a priority in which the priority is to give it to as a gift to a ger, and then as a b'di'evet, a fallback position to sell it to a nachri. Where would Rabbi Yehuda derive such a conclusion if he's reading it in the way he reads it? So let's go again back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, as we saw, is echad, let me just get the language again, is dvarm kiksavan, leger b'nesina, ulenachri b'mechira. And where's the halacha of kedima that the chachamim derived here by virtue of the O and the sequence of the pasuk? So the answer is ha lo tzarech kra. There's no need to derive from the word O that if all things are equal, we give preference to a gift for a ger, because atamitzuva came in the ger, atamitzuva lachyoso. The Torah says ger v'soshav v'chei imach, and therefore you're obligated to provide whatever the needs are for the ger and make sure that he's living and well with you. And b'nachri, Nachri, let's say he hasn't even accepted upon himself to refrain from worshipping idols, from idolatry. Lo kiva alatzmo shalo lavad avod zara is iato mitzuva lachyoso. I mean, only a ger who took upon himself to desist from avod zara, for that matter, to fulfill the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noah, then there's a mitzvah lachyoso. But in the case of your nachri, who might even worship a geshki, might even worship idols, then einato mitzuva lachyoso. We don't have any obligation vis-a-vis the Gentile idolaters to support them. So obviously we've had this choice. Let's fulfill the mitzvah of ger lachyoso. And therefore svarahu, we can derive that from logic, and that's very compelling. The sina l'ger is a mitzvah, mechira l'nochri is not a mitzvah, and therefore the O must be telling me, as we said, Lidvarim Kiksavam, and we separate the Resha, which is the Sina Lager, from the Sefer, which is Mechira L'Nochri. Now the Gemara comes back to Rabbi Avo. You remember that Rabbi Avo had said that from the Vela as the paradigmic case, we derive the conclusion that unless the Torah went out of its way explicitly to be Mater Hana, we assume in the guilty until proven innocent, in the absence of any explicit heter, that it's also Mano. Bishlema, Le Rabbi Meir, Diomar Echad Ger, Vi Echad Nochri, Bein Bimachira, Bein Binesina. The Rabbi Meir rejected this Rabbi Yehuda's approach of Dvarim Kiksavim, where the O splits it. And therefore he reads it in two directions. The Rabbi Meir comes to the conclusion that both in Ger and in Nochri have two options. Is then, the Itzra Krol Mishre, Nevela Bana, Ha Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah, Bein Asurim Bein Machilu Bein Bana. We can certainly match up Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Avo, because Rabbi Avo's principle was that from Ger, from Nevela, we should derive the conclusion that until the Torah is Matir, we assume it's Asur. And now it fits in very beautifully with Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is telling you that this pasuk is coming to be Matar Hanah straight across the board, Ger, Goy, Machira, Nesina, Matana, it's all included. But Ella, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dvarim Kiksavim, and now you, Rabbi Avo, want to derive from the pasuk the conclusion that it would have been Asur Bahanah if the Torah hadn't been Matar Hanah. Maybe it is Asur Bahanah, but the Torah was Matir, these two, the Dvarim Kiksavim, who the Asa? The Torah in the veil is coming just to give you these two options. First, Nesina as a gift to the Ger, and then Mechira to a Nachri. Hakol Yisurim Shabbat Torah, Minolei, had the Rabbi Avon know, according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, the Asurim Behana. In other words, the entire proof of Rabbi Avon rests on the fact that the Torah in the case of the veil had to go out of its way to tell you that it's Mutar Bana, implying that elsewhere in other Yisurim, the Torah says Achir and includes Hana as well. According to Yehuda, the reason why the Torah here specifies that it's Mutar Bana is not because it's superfluous to teach you that elsewhere it's also Bana. It's only needed to teach you that as far as the Heter Ger is concerned, it's only Benesina. As far as the Heter of Nachri is concerned, it's only Bimachira. But in other Yisurim, that the Torah didn't mention anything beyond the Yisra Achil, it's very possible that it would be Mutar Bana. Here the Torah wanted to tell you that the specific way in which your Nene from the Nevela is this specific way and no other way. The Torah is coming to limit the Heter Hanah. But in other Yisurim, the Torah has an unbounded, unlimited Heter Hanah, and it's Mutar Bana. So the Gemara now is going to tell us that Rabbi Avo is going to learn Rabbi Yehuda in a slightly different way. Not as far as the veil is concerned. We know that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in the veil is Dvarim Kiksavim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we could not derive an Isur Hana in Shari Surim from the veil, because in the veil the Torah wanted to specify that the Heter Hana is just this way. Could be then in other Yisurim, there's also a Heter Hana. However, says Rabbi Avo, we're going to derive it from a different parasha. La'kelev tashlichen oso. The Torah says in the parasha of Trefa, in Shmos Chaf Beis, u'basar basoda Trefa lo sochelu. La'kelev tashlichen oso. Here we're going to turn to Chaf Beis on with Aleph. Oso atomashluch la'kelev. The iatamashluch lekelev kol isurim shabbat Torah. We're going to derive the isur hana and all isurim from the words lekelev tashlichun oso. Oso is a mute to tell you that only in the case of trefa, the Torah permitted hana, but in other isurim, the Torah would prohibit hana. Okay, then this is where we're going to stop for today. And tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we will start daf chaf beis. Omid Aleph from the top of the Omid.